When a spirit who is dark learns of this great love and strives to obtain it, and earnestly prays for the help of the Holy Spirit, which is God's messenger of love, it will progress much more rapidly, and its sufferings and darkness will leave it sooner and greater happiness will come to it. But still I say, the work of these lower spirits, that I have spoken of, is a great work and must not be underestimated. So remember what I have written and give due credit to this work. I will not write more, but will with all my love and blessings say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, your loving father. I am the father of that boy, and I want to say to him that I am happy too, as well as his mother, but not as happy as she is. I am not in her high sphere, but I am striving to get there and enjoy her home. Leslie, my son, I am also happy that you are trying to follow the steps of the Master and in your love for the Father, and in your soul aspirations. Believe in this truth, and you will not be disappointed, and when the great day of reunion comes you will find more love waiting for you than you ever thought possible for a spirit to receive. So trust in God and follow the teachings of the Master. I know the importance of this, as one who was ignorant when on earth and now have learned only since coming into the spirit world. God bless that dear mother of yours. If it had not been for her teachings after she came into the spirit world, I probably would be an easy-going spirit, as I was a man, enjoying the happiness which my good nature and love of things generally gave me. But when your mother came over, and I saw that she had a love which I had not, and which I must get in order to be with her, and when she told me how much she loved me, I sought for the same kind of love which she had. And with her help and the help of the Father's Holy Spirit, I obtained this love and am now very happy, for it is this love which alone may make it possible for me to be with her where she is. But I am not yet with her, as her soul condition is above mine for me to be able to share her home. She is so beautiful and good that I am not satisfied to live away from her, and I am trying with all my soul's desire to be together with her, through prayer to the Father for this divine love, the one possession that can make me worthy of her. So Leslie, believe what we say to you and trust in God and you will be happy. Your loving father, William Stone. 268, The Paget Messages, 1915. I am here, the mother of Leslie. I want to say one word to my son before you stop writing, as I feel so much love for him tonight and am so anxious to let him know that I am with him and feel that he is my dear loving boy, whom his mother is so much interested in and so thankful to God that he has found the way to the Father's love. Oh, my boy, if you could only know the happiness that you have given your mother by having sought and found this love of the Father, you will also thank God that you had the opportunity to make your mother so happy. I am your own dear mother, and will always love you and pray to the Father for you and for your happiness and well-being of your soul. Your sisters are here too, and they are among the redeemed, and enjoy the happiness which the divine love gives to them, and they want me to tell you that they are happy too, because you have found the great love and mercy of the Father. So press forward in your soul development and you will find a wonderful happiness and love, not only on earth, but when you come to us as well. Your Mary loves you too, as you know, and her love for you is something wonderful and beyond what we can tell you, and beyond your comprehension. I will not trespass longer tonight, as your friend is tired and should not write much more, but I must say that I am so glad that you met him, and have the benefit of his knowledge and experience of these higher things of the spirit world. Be always friends and you will both realize a wonderful outflowing of love from the higher spirits, and from the Father, and also from Jesus, who is the most wonderful and loving spirit in all the celestial heavens. I will stop now and in doing so, give you all my love and blessings of a mother whose love is without limit. Your loving mother, Priscilla Stone. I want to tell my brother that he must not leave until I tell him that I love him too, and am praying for him with all my heart, and am with him very often trying to help him. So he must believe me and love me too. I can't write more, but I love him. Good night, Kate. A sister of Leslie. I am here, Mary Kennedy. Your wife did not mention my name, and so I thought that I would tell you myself, for I am of much importance to my dear as any of them that she mentioned. I wanted to tell him that I am right here and close to him, and won't let even his mother take my place, though I love her very much and she loves me, But she knows that I am entitled to the first place, and that I won't let anyone take my place. I am with him nearly all the time, trying to help and comfort him, and make him have good thoughts, and wish for me, so he will understand when you read this to him that I intend that he shall know that I am with him and won't let him forget me even if he wanted to, which I don't believe. I was with you on Friday night, but I did not write or say anything, as his mother and grandmother and sisters and brothers were so anxious to communicate with him. But now, while I am here and have the opportunity which is mine by right of love, I intend to be first to write him. He must not think I am a bit jealous, for I am not, but you know that when a sweetheart has a chance to write to her soulmate, she is going to do it or try very hard. They can write too, but they must wait until I get through, and then they can tell him whatever they wish. So tell him to love and think of me and wish that I may be with him very often. I am progressing in my soul development and I am very happy, and the only thing that when he is around makes me happier is to have him with me, but that will not be very soon, for he has a work to do before he comes over, and he will have to wait until he does that work. I am so glad, though, that he has this work, and as he is doing it and helping others, he will also help himself, so that when he does come over he and I will not be separated for a very long time. I suppose I have written enough under the circumstances, and should let others write, but I certainly wish that I could have one evening when I could take my time, and tell him of a great many things that I want him to know. So tell him that I am not stopping because I want to, but because decency requires it. He is my own true love, and I love him with all my heart, and sometime he will know what this means. So with all my love for him and my sister's love for you, I will stop. His own true, Mary Kennedy. 269, The Paget Messages 1915, November 25, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I am with you tonight in your spiritual exaltation and will show you the love that you crave for, and will cause you to feel that the Father is very near you in his love and blessings. So you must let your thoughts go out to the Father and he will come to you with an abundance of love that will make you realize that he is your loving Father. I was with you at the Coburns and saw that your love was very great and that you needed response and I tried to make you realize that I was with you and loved you very much. The music was very beautiful and caused a rapport which drew us very close together, and you were very happy in the thoughts of love and peace that came to you. I am so glad that you are free from your cares tonight, as I want you to feel that the love of the Father is with you and is filling your soul so that you can realize that his love is a thing of reality and substance. I will let you see how much you can become at one with him, and what a joy and peace the love of the Father brings to you. So, as I say, let your thoughts turn to him and let your prayers ascend to him and you will soon know that his kingdom is within and of you. I am now going to tell you what a loving Father he is, and what great desire he has that you believe in him and in his love for you. He is not a God of wrath and anger, and his only desire is that you shall love him with all your heart, and so become so close to him that you will know that he is the Father that I have told you of. He does not want you to let anything on earth keep you from becoming his own dear son and a follower of his truths. I know that you are now very near the place where your soul will be filled with his love, and your faith will have such strength that never again will it be shaken by troubles or doubts. In the near future you will be able to receive from me my messages in that condition of soul knowledge that will enable you to get them just as I desire to give them to you and so to the world. Be more faithful in your aspirations for this love and more in condition to believe what I may write. I am your own true friend and brother and have an interest in you that will enable you to overcome all temptations and all the worries of your earth life. My love will strengthen you in your faith and in your realization that I am your friend and brother, and that I am able to fulfill my promises that I have made to you. Let me again impress upon you the necessity of prayer and faith and the necessity to seek continually the help of the Father. 270. I must not write more tonight but will soon give you another message. I will do so, as I think it will be more satisfactory to write it anew. You were not in good condition when I wrote, and some things were not as clear as I desire. You will be stronger when I write again and the message will be more satisfactory. So try to obtain more faith and you will find that our writings will be more successful. So, with all my love, I am your friend and brother, Jesus. December 2nd, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I have heard your discussion tonight, and am pleased at the soul understanding of my truths which you and your friend seem to have, and I now feel that you are both progressing to that point where you will soon be in a condition to fully understand what my mission is in writing these messages. You have said truly that my new revelation of the truths of the soul is what mankind needs at this time, and what men will be in condition to accept as the real truths of God's love and of His laws. My coming to you is really my second coming on earth, and the result of my coming in this way will satisfy and fulfill all the promises of the Scriptures as to my second coming. So let your belief in this important fact and your faith in me increase until you will have in your soul and mind no doubt as to what my present mission is, and as to what your work will be in making known to men my real purpose in revealing to them the great truths of the Father. I will not write more tonight, but say keep up your courage and believe, and the time will soon come when you will be able to receive my messages in all their fullness, and with such a rapidity that the spreading of these truths will not be delayed. I am with you and will be a faithful friend and brother, sticking closer to you than any earthly brother. With all my love and blessings, I am your loving brother and friend, Jesus. Let me say just one word. I was present and I saw the wonders of His power and glory again. I know that He is so much in earnest as to the truths of His mission and of your work, that no man can doubt. I cannot write much, for I am so overpowered by His great presence that I can scarcely write. How wonderful that He should come to you in this way and declare to you His great messages of truth and the Paget Messages 1915, power. If you could only have seen Him, you would never again doubt Him or His great mission and your work. I must stop. Your brother in Christ, James. Let me tell you that the Master has just written, and in writing He again displayed His great power and glory, for He wrote with all the authority of His heavenly powers. I was present and know what I write to be true. I wish that L could write you a longer letter tonight, but it is late and you need rest. Your own true brother in Christ, John. I know it is late, but, yet, I must say that what has been told you is true, and when we speak of the glory of the Master, you cannot conceive of what is meant. In your mind think of the dim flame of the candle and the glory of the noonday sun, and then compare the glory of the greatest thing in all the earth with this glory of the Master, and you will see side by side the dim candle and the glorious sun. We all know what the divine love of the Father is, but do not appreciate its greatness or wonder, until we occasionally see it displayed in and by Jesus. Go to your prayers in the full belief that this great divine love has been present tonight in amazing abundance, and that you both have had its influence around and in you to a degree that will cause you to feel to some extent the great peace that comes only to the children of light in atonement with the Father. Believe that your experience of this night is true and that it may be yours frequently when your souls are attuned to the inflowing of the love. I must say good night, and God bless you with all His influence divine. I am your brother in Christ, A. G. Riddle. I am your grandmother. My dear son, I feel that I must write you just a line, because I want to tell you that the Master wrote you, and with such power and force that you must not doubt. He was glorious, and with His great love there was so much glory, that we were all for the time overshadowed by these influences, so that we could only listen in adoration. So believe me when I say that you must believe, for never was a message given with more 271 authority. I know that it is hard for you to conceive what I mean, but you will know someday. Your own loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you have had some wonderful messages tonight, all confirmatory of the fact that the Master has chosen and confirmed you to do His work. How thankful I am that this evidence has come to you, for now you cannot doubt, and you will lay all your plans to carry out the desires of the Master, and to get in condition to receive His messages. Now, we must stop. But oh, my dear Ned, to think that you are the object of the Master's choice and His great love. Love me as I do you. I am your own true and loving, Helen. December 4, 1915. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, I heard you call me in your waking moments after your dream, and I came to you and loved you with all my heart. I know what your dream was, for I was trying to come to you in your sleep so that you would realize my presence, and I came as I might have appeared to you on earth, where I now living, but you must not think that I would not love you, for I would, and my appearance did not indicate that I did not love you. I only seemed a little sad and showed that I wanted your sympathy and love. So don't suppose from the dream that I did not love you. I heard you call me several times and I came to you, and I then realized how lonesome you were and how much you wanted me, and how necessary I am to you. Oh, my darling, only to think that in a few short years you will be with me and we will never have to separate again, and that our love will be so great that never can anything occur that will bring us unhappiness or discontent. I do love you with all my heart and soul, and you must love me in the same way, and think of me very often and wish for me, as you did last night. The dream had no special significance, but was merely intended to show you that your little wife was still with you, and that even if she could not come to you in the flesh, yet she could in your dreams. She was just as she might have appeared to you in her early days of married life, and tried to let you see how beautiful, even as a mortal, she was, because she thought that maybe your recollections of her of those days may have become dim and shadowy. The Paget Messages, 1915. So you see, we can be with each other in our writings, in our visions, in voice communications and in dreams. Should we not be thankful to the Father for these great privileges? I so often think of the great gift that He has given to you, and of our ability to become so close to each other in conscious communion, and wonder why it is. But when I consider the work which you have been selected to do, I don't wonder, for that work is of such importance that you will have to have the gift which has been bestowed upon you, and also the other great powers that will be given you. As I said last night, the power of inspiration is yours also, and if you will seek to cultivate it, you will find that you will be able to express the thoughts of some of the greatest spirits that we have in our higher spirit world. And you will not only be surprised yourself at what may come through you in this way, but your hearers will also wonder and think you a wonderfully wise man and orator. But you will understand that it will not be you who will really do the speaking, but the spirits who may be behind you. No, it will not interfere with your writing powers, but, on the contrary, will help and increase these powers, for many times when we write, if we could only tell you in the way of inspiration what we desire to express, many things would be more easily transmitted to paper, than as now, when we have to do the physical work of moving your hand as well as of using your brain. So you see, it is very desirable for you to cultivate this phase of mediumship, for the good that you will be able to do is beyond calculation. No, I have not heard that he, Ed Thomas, has passed over, and I don't know any of his friends here, but I will try to find them and will speak to him and tell him that you sent me to him. And if he needs help, I will try to help him, and, if he desires, will bring him to you, and let him write. So you see, if we can do any good to any spirit, we are always willing to do it. Don't you think that we had better stop now, as you are tired, although you may not realize it? Well, sweetheart, I do love you with all my heart and soul, and I will stay with you, and comfort you and make you feel my presence. I am so happy that you love me so much and want me with you as you do, but we have to observe the laws governing our communications, and it will not be best for us to write more at this time. I will come tonight and again tell you of my love. So with all my love I will say goodbye. Your own true and loving, Helen. 272, December 5, 1915. I am here, Luke. I want to write a few lines on the subject about which you and your friend Dr. Stone were talking, and that is as to whether spiritualism, as now understood and taught, supplies that which satisfies the souls of men in their longings for happiness and peace and contentment. I have heard in the course of my spirit life a great many preachers and teachers of spiritualism, both in recent years and all along the ages, from the time of my first entrance into spirit life. For you must know that spiritualism is not a new thing, having its origin or belief in the recent years that followed the manifestations in America. All along the ages spirits have manifested to mankind in one phase or another, and men have believed in spiritualism and discussed it. Of course, in former times when the churches had the great power which enabled them to dictate the beliefs of men, spiritualism was not so openly taught or discussed as in these latter years, nevertheless it has always, during the time that I have named, been known to mankind. Never have its teachings gone beyond the mere phenomena which demonstrated to its believers the continuity of life and the communication of spirits. The higher things of the soul's development and the kingdom of God, as you have been instructed, were never thought of, or, at least, never taught or believed in. Only the two facts that I have spoken of were discussed and accepted, and even today, the scientific men who are investigating it deal only with the phenomena and are satisfied with proof that man never dies. At no time has the existence of the divine love or the kingdom of God been sought for or taught by the teachers of spiritualism, and in fact such things could not have been taught, for they never have been known. God has never been anything more to the spiritualist than some indefinable abstract force, whose existence is not of sufficient certainty to make him anything more than a mere principle, as some call him, and the laws governing all that nature are the only things that men must look to for their ideas of right and wrong and the government of their conduct in life. The spiritualists speak of the love of man for one another and the brotherhood of man and the cultivation of the mind, and the moral qualities, but admit of no outside help, or if so, of the help of some departed friend who may not be at all, the Paget Messages 1915, competent to help, or if so, such help is only that which one can give to another, and even when the help of what is called the higher spirits is spoken of, it involves no different quality of help. I know that spirits do help mortals, and also harm them, but all such help according to the ideas of the spiritualists is based upon what they suppose these spirits possess in the way of superior intellectual acquirements or moral qualities. The soul of man, which is that part of him that is made in the image of God, although it may be unconsciously, is longing for that which will make such image become substance, with its resultant happiness and joy. Yet you will not find that any spiritualist teaches or attempts to teach how or in what way such substance may be acquired, or the fact that there is such a substance. They do not know that the divine love, coming through the working of the Holy Spirit, is the only thing that can enable the image to be transformed into the substance, and hence they cannot teach the truths, and as a consequence, the longings of a man's soul are never satisfied by the teachings of spiritualism. Do you suppose that if the great truth of spiritualism had embraced the greater truth of the soul development that it, spiritualism, would now be the weak, unattractive thing that it is, and that men would not have sought and embraced it in vast numbers? Spiritualism, with all the truths that belong to it, is the true religion of the universe and one which would prove more effective in bringing men into a state of reconciliation with the Father than all other religions combined. But it is powerless and without drawing power as a religion because it has not the teachings which show men the way to God's love and to the satisfying of the soul's longings. But someday, and in the near future, this defect will be remedied and then you will see men and women flock to its bosom, so that they can enjoy not only the happiness which communication with their departed friends give them, but also, the happiness which the development of the soul by the divine love gives them. Why the great revelation of this truth has been delayed to spiritualists so long, I do not know, except it may be that mankind was not ready to receive it before. But now the time has come, and false beliefs of the Orthodox churches, and the want of belief of the spiritualists, will both disappear and men be made free and the possessors of the combined truths of spiritualism and the existence of the divine love, which brings 273, to them not only happiness and peace, but immortality. I must not write more tonight as you are tired, so I will say good night, your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, Jesus. I was with you tonight and heard the speaker's discourse on the drama of Saint Paul. Well, it was very interesting and in some places impressive, and should produce a great effect upon the hearers. Many things that the speaker recited were true, and occurred substantially as he related them. But some were not matters of actual occurrence, and Paul that never had all the experiences that he spoke of. But these were of minor importance, and did not affect the truth of the narrative as a whole. Of course, the whole discourse was taken from the Bible, and as I have told you before, there are many things in the Bible which are not true. His description of Paul's experience on the way to Damascus is partly true, and partly not. "Well, I spoke to him, and when he was felled to the ground by the brightness of the great light that shone about him, Paul heard what I said, and answered me, and went into the town, but he was not blind, nor did the prophet Ananias do anything to him in the way of curing any physical blindness. He only helped to open the spiritual blindness of Paul, and show him the way to the Father's love and kingdom. Paul, as you know, was a very learned man among the Jews, and was a strict believer and follower of the Pharisees' doctrines, but as to knowing anything about the divine love, he had never experienced it, nor even did not know what it was intellectually. My summons to him was not only for the purpose of stopping the persecution of my people, but for the further purpose of enlisting him in my cause, as not many of my followers were educated or learned men, and I realized that my doctrines and truths must be preached among not only the learned Jews, but also among the Gentile philosophers, and as the first requisite in such cases is to hold and, in a way, convince the intellect, I saw that I must have a disciple who would have the mental qualifications to present to these learned men, in a convincing way, my truths, and be able to withstand the logic and reasoning of these Gentile philosophers. John was filled with love, and wherever he could come in close communion with the common, the Paget Messages 1915, people, he could, by the great power and influence of that love, persuade these people to embrace and receive my truths, and as a consequence, feel the inflowing of the Holy Spirit. But Paul had not this love to that degree, as to be enabled by virtue of its power or influence to convince and compel his hearers to receive my truths, and embrace that faith in my teachings as would cause them to seek the love of the Father, and hence, his mission was the more intended to be the teachings of my truths to the intellect and mental perceptions of a large number of persons of greater intellectual development than those with whom John and the other disciples would come in contact. Of course, Paul acquired this love to a very large degree, but not sufficiently to prevent him at times in his early ministry from doubting my calling him to do this work, and, as he has told you, this doubt was the besetting sin, or thorn in the flesh, from which he suffered. Had he had the fullness of the love that John and some of the others had, he would never have had the doubts of which he speaks. But, nevertheless, he became a wonderful power in spreading my truths, and in convincing men that the love of the Father was the one great possession to be obtained, and in causing them to believe in me as the Son of the Father, and his messenger to declare to the world the great plan of man's salvation. Paul finally became a man filled with this love as far as his nature was capable of receiving it, and in his gospel will be found wonderful exhortations to his hearers to seek for it. But he was not the disciple of love, but rather of the intellectual parts of my truths, and when he taught, his teachings were intended to appeal more to the mental perceptions than to the soul perceptions. He never taught that I was God, nor did he believe that I was. And whenever it is set forth that he did say, or rather, what the Bible says on that subject, is interpreted to mean that I am God, that interpretation is erroneous. I will not write more on Paul tonight, but will tell you of some things of more importance to mankind. I am now working as I did on earth, though in a little different way, to show men the way to God's love and eternal life, and to assure them that the great divine love of the Father is waiting for them to have it flow into their souls, and make them at one with him. Men are now in a condition that causes them to long for this great love, and the peace and 274 happiness which it brings, without knowing really what it is that they desire. And when my truths are placed before them, and they are told of the wonderful blessings that may be theirs by merely seeking for it in earnest and honest prayer, they will turn their thoughts and longings to God and his love, and find the happiness and peace which they so much realize the want of. I have many things to write you, and hope that we may soon have the rapport that will enable me to do so. Well, I see how you feel, and I am so glad that you do, and I must tell you that the Father's love is working in your soul, and will result in your becoming my true and earnest disciple. I will be with you in all my power and influence, so that nothing will prevent the doing of the great work which I have selected you to do. You must pray to the Father for his love, and for faith, and they will come to you, for such prayers the Father desires to answer and grant. And besides, as I pray to him, and all my followers pray, we will ask the Father to give you this great love and faith and power to do the work, and to sustain you through all the years that may be yours on earth, for the work must be done. You have written long tonight, and I think it best that I stop.